This shiur is Masechta Pesachim Daf Samach Ches, and we will begin on Daf Samach Zayin on the base, 10 lines from the bottom, Omamar. In the previous shiur we had discussed that the Torah tells us that if people are Tamei, depending on which Tumah they have to leave different Machnais. A Tamei Meis, we learned, has to leave the Machna Shechina. A Tumah Zov has to leave even Machna Levia. And a Tamei Metzaira has to even leave Machna Yisrael. And Amamar, we had learned in the Gemara, that Zov, when the Torah describes the Tumah of a Zov and his requirement to leave a Machna, the Torah uses the words V'chol Zov, and the extra V'chol teaches us the Rabbi's power. Carry that even somebody who had an emission of shechva zera, of semen, which is physically different than ziva, must also leave both machne shechina and machne levia. Says the Gemara, Mesayle Rabbi Yochanan, this is what Rabbi Yochanan taught us, Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Mechilos lo niskatshu, the underground tunnels below the Beis HaMikdash don't have Kedusha, or Balkari Mishtaleach Chuslo Shtei Machnois. And a Balkari must leave two Machnois, the Machna Shechin and the Machna Levia. Rashi tells us that these two halachas, the halacha regarding Mechilois, the Kedusha of Mechilois, and the halacha where a Balkari may or may not be, are not related. Yes, Rabbi Yochanan learned both of them from his Rebbe at the same time. The Tosfos Rit, however, says that these two halachas are related, because the Tosfos Rit tells us that the Mishnah in Masechta Midos, the Mishnah Masechta Tamid, teaches us that there were guards in the Beis HaMikdash all night, and if Chas V'Shalom one of them had a mission of Keri of Shechah Zera, the halacha is that he would go through the underground tunnels under the Beis HaMikdash until he got to the mikveh and Tovel himself, and there he would remain until the next day. Now the question is, if he's a Balkari, how could he walk in these underground tunnels? Must be, and that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us, that although a Balkari may not be in the Machna Levia, and certainly not in the Machna Shechina, he may go in the underground tunnels to reach the Mikvah, because Mechilois loin neskatshu, those underground tunnels do not have Kedusha. And as the Mefarshim explained, and Tosfos quotes it here, although David HaMelech, when he was Mekadesh, the Beis HaMikdash, was Mekadesh Ad HaTahoim, until the depths, so how can we say to the Mechilos Loi Neskatshu, David HaMelech made a condition that when the Beis HaMikdash will actually be built by Shlomo HaMelech, he will be able to say where the Kedusha is effective, where the Kedusha is not chal, and therefore he said that any tunnels that open up to the Azara have Kedusha, others do not. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Balkari Kamagasheretz, that a Balkari has the same halacha as somebody who touched the sheretz. My lap, what does that Bryce not teach us? L'machnoisam, that a Balkari and a Magasheretz both have the same din regarding where they may and may not be. And as we learned previously, a Magasheretz may only not be in the Machna Levia. However, he may not be Machna Shechina, he may be Machna Levia. So we see here the Balkari is the same, that he's only not allowed to be in the Machna Shechina, but he may be in the Machna Levia. Says the Gemara, loy. What we mean here is lutumasam, that they have the same halacha regarding the tumah, that they go to the mikveh and need herif shemesh. Ask the Gemara lutumasam, is the purpose of the brisa to teach us that they have the same halacha regarding tumah? That we don't need a brisa to teach us. Hi, Thomas Erev Ksibay, regarding someone who became tamei through a sheretz, it says beferish in the Torah is halacha that he's tamei by until he goes to the mikveh and has herv shemesh. For hi, Thomas Erev Ksibay, and the same does the Torah tell us explicitly is the halacha regarding a balkari. So that can't be what the purpose of this brisa is. Elalav, isn't the purpose of this brisa again to teach us lemach naisam, that a balkari has the same din as a Magnus Sheretz, and he only must leave Machne Shechina, not also Machne Leviyah. Says the Gemara, Loi Lom L'Tumasam. The Braisa is teaching us a din regarding the Tuma of Balkeri. What is the din that it's teaching us? That's not explicit in the Torah. But Kamashman, the din that the Mishnah is teaching us is the Balkeri Kamagi Sheretz, Ma Magi Sheretz Matam Ba'oinus. Somebody who's touched by a Sheretz is Tomei, whether it's voluntary or involuntary, his touching of the Sheretz. The same too, at Balkeri Matam Ba'oinus, even if there is an outside circumstance that caused them to have this emission, he is still considered a Balkeri with the halachas of Balkeri. Meisvei asked the Gemara from that same Mishnah. The Mishnah ends off with the words, Boil Nida Ketamimais. That someone who has relations with a Nida has the same halachas as a Tamimais. Lamai. Again, what is the purpose of this Mishnah teaching us this din? Ilem L'tumasam. If it's the purpose is to teach us the din of how long the Tuma, the Tamei, says the Gemara, that can't be what that Mishnah is teaching us. Because Hai Tuma Shivik Sebei, it says explicitly regarding someone who lives with a Nida, that he's Tamei for 7 days. For Hai Tuma Shivik Sebei, and so too somebody who's a Tamei Mace, that he's Tamei for 7 days, it says explicitly in the Torah. That can't be the purpose of the Mishnah. Ela Lav L'machnoisam. The purpose is to teach us that they have the same din, that just like a Tamei Mace may not be in the Machne Shechina, so too may a Baal Nida not be in the Machne Shechina. So we see clearly that the last part of this Mishnah is teaching us halachas regarding which Machnois people of different Tumas may or may not be in. So if that's the purpose of the second part of this Mishnah, ostensibly that's the same point in the first part of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah that talks about Balkeri and compares him to Bagi Sheretz is seemingly teaching us that he's only not allowed to be in the Machne Shechina like somebody who's tummy with a Sheretz, but he may be in the Machne Leviyah, not like what Rabbi Yochanan taught us, who he said that a Balkeri may not even be in the Machne Leviyah. Says the Marmidi area. Is this a proof? Hakadisa Vakadisa. Each part of the Mishnah is teaching us a different din. The first part of the Mishnah is teaching us a din in Tumah, that a Balkeri becomes Tami Ba'oinis, just like a Magi Sheretz. The second part is teaching us a din in Machna, that a Ba'al Nida has a din like a Tami Meis. Ask the Mishnah Lamelech, every Ba'al Nida is a Balkeri, because when he had relations with a Nida, he emitted Shechva Zera. So, yet the Mishnah is teaching us that he's only not allowed to be in the Machne Shechina. So don't we have a proof from that, that a Balkeri is only expelled from the Machne Shechina no further? Says the Mishnah Melech, that's not a proof. Because that part of the Mishnah may be speaking about somebody who had relations with a Nida, went to the Mikvah, and had hair of Shemesh, so the Tumas Balkeri is no longer on him, but he is still a Baal Nida until the end of 7 days. Meisvei asked the Gemara, we learned yesterday a Braisa. The Braisa says there are different Tameim with different levels of Tuma. Mitzayra Cham Mizov. A Mitzayra, we said, is a more stringent Tame than Zov, and that's why he has to leave more Machnois than a Zov. Zov chavim itame meis, and a Zov is more stringent than tame meis, and that's why he has to leave more machnois than a tame meis. Yotz Balkeri, the Balkeri is excluded. She tame meis chavim menu. The tame meis is a more stringent tame than a Balkeri, because tame meis is tame for 7 days, and a Balkeri is only for 1 day. My yotza, what does this price seemingly mean when it says the word Yotza? Lav Yotz Mechlazov. Doesn't the Braisa mean that a Balkeri is not treated like a Zov who may not be both in the Machne Shechina and the Machne Leviyah? Or Bo Lechlav Tamei Meis. Rather, he's treated like a Tamei Meis who's only expelled from the Machne Shechina but may be in the Machne Leviyah. Different than what we learned. And what's the point? The Tamei Meis, because if we're saying that the way we decide where a Tamei person may be or not be is dependent on the stringency of the tumah he's being affected with. The tumah meis chamemenu. Somebody with a tumah mess is a more tumah than somebody balkari. Or mutter machna levia. And a tumah meis is mutter in a machna levia. Seemingly, certainly, a balkari should be mutter in a machna levia. Says the Gemara, loy. Yotzer machna tumah meis. The balkari is not treated like a tumah meis. Even though as far as the level of tumah, he is a lower level of tumah than tumah meis. The nichnas lamach azov, and he's treated like azov. The afal gav the tumah meis chamer menu. Even though the tumah meis is more tumah than a balkari, and he's mutar b'machna levia. So why is a balkari also a machna levia? Because lamai the dami medaminale. We compare a balkari to azov rather to tumah meis. I like the Mefarshim explain. There are two ways to decide what to do with a balkari. One way is to look at the level of tumah. If we look at it that way, a balkari is certainly a lower level of tumah than a tumah meis. So if a tumah meis is only expelled from machnas shechina, so too will be the din of balkari. But there's another thing to look at. We look at the type of tumah that he's being affected with. And the type of tumah of a balkari is much more similar to azov, because they're both tumahs that emanate from the body of the person, versus a tumah meis, which is not a tumah which emanates from the person, and therefore we compare a balkari to azov and not to a tumah meis. Tana tana kamed rav dimi. The pasuk says, v'yotza machutz l'machna, the balkari should leave the machna z'machna shechina. L'yavoy atoicha machna z'machna levia. Mikan, from here we have a proof, l'balkari shiyotza chutz l'shtei machnas, and that the balkari must leave two machnas. That's what the pasuk means with both of these psukim. Amalei, so they asked a question. Let's understand these psukim. In this pasuk, the first pasuk says that he must leave the machna shechina. But the pasuk didn't tell us anything about the machna levia. So how could you say, asks the Gemara, that he's not allowed to come back into the machna levia? We haven't discussed the machna levia, so it doesn't make any sense to speak about it. If the pasuk should speak about machna levia, we haven't dealt with it at all. Lishna chrina, the same question, just worded differently. Akat deloy fikta alta, you have not yet taken the tumah out of the machna levia, and you're already talking about bringing him back in. Again, it makes no sense that the Torah should be speaking about the balkari coming into the machna levia, because we haven't talked about leaving it yet. Ala ema, how should we explain the pasuk? Mechutz l'machna z'machna levia. Outside, first the pasuk tells us he should leave the machna levia, and then it tells us lo yavo tach machna, he shouldn't come into the machna shechina. So the pasuk is talking about both machna shechina, machna levia, and from here we have a proof that a balkari may not go into both of those machnas. Maskel of Ravina. So Ravina asks, Ema, perhaps we should say pshat in the pasuk is idi v'idi l'machna shechina, that the pasuk is only referring to the machna shechina, and what the Torah is telling us is lava lo be'esev loisa say, that a balkari that goes into the machna shechina will be both over a lav and a say, but he will be permitted in the machna levia. So how do we have a proof from this pasuk that a balkari is also prohibited from being in the machna levia? Answers the Gemara, im kain lemekrov yetze el mechutz lemachna leyava al toich. If the only thing that the pasuk is teaching us is about the balkari being allowed to be in the machna shechina, the Torah should have just said v'yetze el mechutz lemachna, which would be the lav, which would be the say leyava al toich, which would be the lav. Why does the Torah have machna lomeli? If we're only talking about one and the same machna shechina all along, why would the Torah have to repeat the words hamachna? Shmamina, it must be to teach us litamay machna cheres. The Torah is teaching us, talking to us about two machnois and telling us about carries us are both in the machna shechina and machna levia. But the Rishash tells us that let's learn the next pasuk in the Torah. The next pasuk in the Torah teaches us, "Ukuvah Hashemesh Yovoi Al Toicha Machnam." So he explains like this: what is the Torah teaching us? That about Keri, even though he's, as we're learning now, not allowed to be in the Machna Shechina and the Machna Leviya. However, as soon as he goes to the mikveh, even though he didn't have Harif Shemesh, he's already allowed to go back into the Machna Leviya. And then, when Harif Shemesh comes, Ukavoha Shemesh, when there's Harif Shemesh, in the Machna Leviya, he's already allowed to be from when he went to the mikveh, Ukavoha Shemesh. And when there's Harif Shemesh, Yovay Al Toicha Machna, then he may even re-enter into the Machna Shechina. The Machna Shechina is called the Toich, the middle, because the Machna Shechina was the middle, and all the other Machnas surrounded it from the outside. We learned in the Mishnah, amongst the things that may be done in processing a Korban Pesach when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, Michi Krovov, working with the intestines. Ask the Gemara, my Michi Krovov, what does this mean? Rav Huna Amar, Shemanakvan Besakvan, that we make a hole in the intestines and that the liquid in them pours out. So Michi, according to this, is a noun. Michi is the liquid in the Krovov, the liquid in the intestines come out. Chiba Rav Amar, Shirke de Maya, it talks about the slime that's on the intestines, the nachkav agav duch de sakina, that comes out when you scrape the intestines with a knife. Omar Rebbe Lozer, my tama the chiba rav, the ksiv, could as a pasuk in Yeshaya, v'chorvois mechim, and the homes, the ruined homes of the fat ones, gorim yachelu, the gerim will eat. My mashma, what does this pasuk mean? Kerimetargim Rav Yosef, v'nechsei the Rishaya, the possessions of the Rishoyim, who are called mechim, which means people who are repulsive, tzadikim yichasim. So we see that mechim refers to scraping the slime. The Rishoyim are considered the slime. And the Mefarshim point out that we see from here that Lassod Lavoi, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu will punish the Rishoyim, he will punish them not just that they will no longer exist, just mechim, they will be scraped just like the slime in the intestines. And the Mefarshim say further, that's pshat that the pasuk says, "Mocha timche zeich amolek." When we will destroy amolek, it's not just to obliterate amolek is the mitzvah. Mocha timche, it has to be through michui, through total scraping and removal. Continues the Gemara. The pasuk began, this pasuk of Chavis Mechim Garm Yechelu begins with the words V'ro'u Kvasim Kedavram, and the sheep will graze Kedavram, like they were spoken. Omram Nashim Maik Ba'yirmiya Omarav Kmedubadam, as was spoken about them. Maik Kmedubadam, what was said about them? Omra Abaye, what was said was that Chavis Mechim Garm Yechelu, that they will inherit the Rishoyim. Amalei Rava, so Rava says that can't be pshat in the pasuk. Bishlam iksiv charvois. If the pasuk would have said v'ra kvasim kedavrim charvois without the vav melchim garim yechelu, krakamrit, your pshat would be a good pshat. Hash diksiv v'charvois. The second part of the pasuk of charvois begins with the word with the letter vav. So milsachrita kama, it must be that the pasuk is teaching us a new din altogether, a new concept altogether, not connected to the first. So back to beginning, what does the chorvois, what does the rock vasam kedavram refer to? And the Malbim explains why are the tzaddikim compared to kvasim, to sheep. So he says that there are two types of sheep. There are sheep that is in the field. Not easy to have food, has to search for the food. And then there's sheep that's at home and it's fed. The difference between those two sheep are when the person who feeds the sheep in the home doesn't have any more food to give him. That sheep is lost. The sheep who's been accustomed to go into the field and find its own food manages. Says the Malbim, In this world, Rishoyim cheat and steal, and Tzaddikim are honest. Where Mashiach will come, we will live in an honest world. The Kvasim, those sheep, those Tzaddikim, that were honest in this world, will be able to manage in the next world, whereas the Rishoyim will not be able to manage. Ella Marava, in explaining the Pasuk of Roy Kvasim Kedavram, says, Rav Chananel Amarav, Rav Chananel Amarav, Asidim Tzaddikim Shichayus Amesim, Tzaddikim will have the ability to be Mechay Mesim. Ksiv Hocha, V'roh Kvasim Kedavram, V'ksiv Hosim Yiru Boshon V'gilad Kmei Olam, they will graze in Boshon and Gilad like before. Boshon refers to Elisha, Habom and Aboshon, it came from Boshon, Shenem V'yani V'shof V'boshon, the Pasuk speaks about descendants of God, and it says that Yani Shofet Bosh V'ksipoi Elisha ben Shofet Ashiyotzik Maimel Deyo. So we see that Elisha was a descendant of Shofet who lived in Boshan, and Gilad Zeliyo Shnem V'yoyma Eliyo Atishbi Mitosh Gilad. So the pasuk is referring to Eliyo Hanavi. The Mashah asks, Elisha was a Talmud of Eliyahu. So why does the Gemara mention Elisha before Eliyahu? So a few answers are given. One answer given is because we find in Nach that Elisha was Mechaya, that he resurrected two Mesim, whereas Eliyahu was only Mechaya, one Mace. Another Torah says that Eliyahu was like a Malach. So that Eliyahu had the ability to be Mechaya Mesim is not such a Chiddush. Elisha was a regular person, and that he had the ability to be Mechayim Mesim, that is a Chiddush. Another Teretz that's given is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, made a deal with Eliyahu. He had given him the power over rain, and he gave it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the power of Tchias HaMesim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted back the power over rain. So he had to give Eliyahu the power over Tchias HaMesim. That's why that's not such a chiddush. Elisha is more of a chiddush. Continues the Gemara. Amram Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amram Yonason. Asidim tzadikim shichayim meisim. Tzadikim will have the ability to be chayim meisim. Shenemar oid yeshu zakenim zakenis brachovis rishalayim. V'ish mishante biyadoi. They will have their stick in the hand meroiv yom. V'ksiv v'samta mishante apnei hanar. Elisha tells Gechzi how he could be Mechayim Mesim, the boy who died, by putting the stick over his head. So we see that Tzaddikim can be Mechayim Mesim. Mefarshim ask, we know that there are three Maftechos, the three keys that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds on to himself. The key of Geshamim of rain, the key of childbirth, and the key of Tchias HaMesim. And here we see that Tzaddikim have the key of Tchias HaMesim. What's Pshat? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mechayim Mesim. Mechayim Mesim the Tzaddikim. That's the only people HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mechayim Mesim. The Tzaddikim then will be Mechayim Mesim, the people who supported them, who gave them the opportunity to learn. And that's Pshat in the Pasuk, Mishantam. When the Pasuk speaks about the Tzaddikim, the Pasuk says, about Tchias HaMesim says the stick. What do you need a stick for Tchias HaMesim? Mishantam refers to the support, the stick. Those people who supported Talmidei Chachamim, the Talmidei Chachamim, when they come back for Tchias HaMesim, will then be Mechayim Mesim then. Another teretz is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mechayim Mesim, the people who live, who are Nikbar in Eretz Yisrael. And then, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechayim Mesim, those people, they in turn will be Mechayim Mesim, the people in Chutz Laretz. And that works very well in the Gemara here. Because Boshen and Gilad are in Chutz Laretz. And the Pasuk is teaching us that first HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mechayim Mesim, Tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, and then Tzaddikim like Eliyahu and Elisha will be Mechayim Mesim, the people in Chutz Laretz. Ula Rami. Ula asked the following question. Ksiv, there's a pasuk that says, Bila hamoves lenetzach. There will no longer be death. The ksiv, ki ben hanar ben mei shana yomus, that somebody who's young and somebody who dies at 100 years old will be considered they died young, but there will be death. Answers the Gemara loy kasha. Can be Israel. Jews will not be subject to death anymore. Can be of the kachavim. Goyim will die, but they will die at an old age. Ask the Gemara for of the kachavim my bahasim. Why will we need goyim when Mashiach comes? Answers the Gemara the ksiv for om the zorim. Strangers will come up for road tzonchem and will tend your sheep. Ubnei noicha echrechem kamechem, and the foreigners will be the people who plow and work on your field. Rav Chisda Rami, Ksiv v'chofra halavana aboy shachama. It says that the moon and the sun will no longer exist when Mashiach comes. V'ksiv, yet it says another pasuk, v'ayah or halavana k'arachama, the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun, v'arachama yishvoy sayim k'ar shivas hayomim, and the light of the sun will be 49 times brighter than the sun of the Shivas Hayom, the Shivas Hayom of creation. And as Rashi explains, that the moon will be equivalent to that of the sun, and the sun will be 7 times greater. So that's 7 times, and the moon is, that's 7 times 7 times 7, that means the sun will be 343 times greater than it is today. Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Kan Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, there will no longer be a moon and a sun. Kan Lamaisa Mashiach, there will be, but it will be a lot stronger than it is today. Ulu Shmuel asked the Gemara, according to Shmuel, that says, Ein Bein Olam Hazeh L'Mos Mashiach, El Shivan Malchus Bavad, that the world's not going to be very different between now and Mashiach, and between now and Mashiach, Michael and Meimah, that even Mashiach, the world will look the same. And says the Gemara, Idi V'Idi L'Olam Haba, both refer to Olam Haba. V'Loi Kasha. Kam V'Machna Shechina. The Machna Shechina, there won't be any need for sun and moon. Kama machna tzedikim, there will be sun and moon, but it will be a lot stronger than it is today. Rava Roman. Rava asked the following question. Ksiv ani omis v'chaya. The pasuk says, I put to death and I make live. Ksiv mechatzti v'ni erpa. I wound and I heal. Ask the Gemara, hashta chuyim mechaya, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings life, ma'apra lekoshken, certainly he could heal. And the way the Ben Yoyada explains the question is, the pasuk changes from Lashon Asid and the Omis V'Achya to Lashon Avar, Mechatz Diverpa, Elam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mashni Memis, what I put to death, and the Mechaya, I will make live. Just like when somebody is wounded, I heal him, so too I will be Mechaya Mason. Tana Abonin, and the Omis V'Echya, I put to death and put life. Yochem Misa Be'echad, V'Chaim Be'echad. I would think that the pasuk is talking about two different people. One person is put to death, and a person is given life. K'derech Sha'olam Noig, like we know the world works. Some people are born, and some people leave the world. Tam Alayma, that's what the pasuk says. Mechatzdi V'Ni Erpa, Ma Makar Refu V'Echad. The person that's wounded is the same person that's healed. The same thing, Af Misa V'Chaim Be'Echad, the same person who dies, he will come back. Mikan Tshuva Alayma Ein Tchiyas Meis Min HaTorah. People say that there is no concept of Tchiyas Meis Min HaTorah. Here we see that it is written. Davar Acher, B'Tchila Mashani Meimis Ani Mechaya. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring back to life those people that died as they were. So if they were sick or wounded where they died, that's how they'll live, look when they come back. And then he will heal those sick people. We learned in the Mishnah, the Hector Chalovov, that you're allowed to burn the fats on also on Shabbos Er Pesach. Tanya, Amr Rabbi Shimon, let's see from here. From here, we could see how great is doing a mitzvah in the right time. Alpidin, you would allow to be burned these things all night, not have to do it on Shabbos. Rather, we don't wait till night. We do it on Shabbos because you're supposed to do a mitzvah in the right time. And the Be'er Yitzchak says from here that Eve, this has nothing to do with the Shaila that we have many times, if Shabbos the chuya or hutra regarding kabbonis. Is when we said that you're allowed to bring a carbon in Shabbos hutra, it's completely mutter, or is it the chuya? You're allowed to do, but you're only allowed to do what you have to. Says the Bar Yitzchak, even if we'll hold that Shabbos is the chuya and we only do the minimum, still the concept of chaviva mitzvah shata tells us you could do it completely right and not look for any shortcuts. And that's the same reason he says that when there's a meal on Shabbos, even though the halacha is meal is the chuya b'Shabbos, and we only do as little chil Shabbos as required for a meal on Shabbos, there's no requirement to ask two moilim to do the milah. And then it will be a situation of shtaim shasua, two people doing something, two people doing a malacha, which there's never nisteraisa. Because if we have a concept of chaviva mitzvah b'shata, we could do it the regular way to be mekayim chaviva mitzvah b'shata. And the poskim discussed the shaila, what happens if a child was born and he wasn't well, and the child is a bechor, and the same day that he is going to have his pinyan haben, he's going to have his bris milah. What should be done first? Says the Ranach that he should do the bris first. Because although today is the day for the pidyon haben, and for that we have a concept, as we just learned, of chaviva mitzvah b'shata, since by milah there's a concept to always try to do the milah as early as possible, and the pidyon haben, the whole day it's permitted to be done, so therefore do the bris first and then the pidyon haben. However, of course, if the child, even on the day of the pinyan haben, is not yet ready for the bris milah, say the poskim do the pinyan haben on that day, and the milah will do as soon as we will be able to. But of course, the poskim point out that although we're learning a concept of chaviva mitzvah b'shata, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't use seichel. And if a person has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, like, let's say, to be makarev a Jew, and there's chaviva mitzvah b'shata, a person should always have his priorities right and do what's important. We learned in the Mishnah that hakavosoi v'avosoi, bringing the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash or cutting off a wart, do not override Shabbos, and they may not be done on Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar says that they do. Vriminu asked the Gemara, there's a Mishnah Masech Erevin that says, Choyt chin yabelis b'midosh, we're allowed to cut off a wart in the Beis HaMikdash of Loi b'Medina, not outside the Beis HaMikdash, from the Kli, if a Kli is being used, instruments being used, Kavakan Osir. So we have a stira in the Mishnah Masech Erevin, it says, you're allowed to cut. And here it says, you're not allowed to cut. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina offered different terutzim to this question. Chan Omer once said, "Idiv idiv yad." Our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Masech the Erevin are talking about removal of the wart by hand. Habalacha. Our Mishnah is speaking about a moist wart, which can't be even taken off with a hand, because, as Rashi explains, since it couldn't been removed before Shabbos, and it's a moist wart, which there could be a chiv deraisa by, if it's taken off with a keli, that's why it's asur. Habi of Asher, the Mishnah in Masech the Erevin is talking about a dry wart, which there can never be a chiv deraisa for, and that's why biyad were mekel. Both Mishnahs are speaking about a moist wart. The Mishnah Masech the Erevin that says you're allowed to remove it is talking about taking it off by hand. Haba Keli, our Mishnah is talking about taking it off with an instrument. Ask the Gemara, well, Amanda Omer, Haba Yad, Haba Keli, according to the Amanda Omer that said that the Mishnah in Erevin is talking about taking it off with a hand. And our Mishnah is talking about taking it off with a Keli, my Tamalai Omer, why didn't he give the terrace like the other Amanda Omer gave? The Edi Vidi Biyad, that both Mishnahis are talking about taking it off by hand. V'loi Kasha, just will say, Habalacha, our Mishnah is talking about a moist wart, Habi Yavasha, and that Mishnah is talking about a dry wart. Amalach answers the Gemara, if that Mishnah is talking about a dry wart, by Yavesha, by a dry wart, Michre Pricha, it just crumbles away. So the way Rashi explains that the word cutting is not applicable by a dry wart. because it's not cut, it's not removed, it just crumbles away. Tosfos, however, says that the reason the Mishnah over there cannot be talking about a dry wart, because the Mishnah Sefer says the keli with a keli kan v'kan usser, it's always usser. But if it's a dry wart, why would it be usser with a keli? So it must be that Mishnah is not talking about a dry wart. And Mefarshim explain that it's not that Rashi disagrees necessarily with Tosfos. Just Rashi's trying to explain that why does the Mishnah in Masechet Erevin hold that we don't say that you're not allowed to cut off a dry wart, because if we let you cut off a dry wart, you may come to cut a moist wart. So that Rashi's trying to teach us, there's no reason to make such a gzeira, because a dry wart and a moist wart are physically different. A dry wart requires cutting, a physical wart crumbles. Ask the Gemara, well, the Mandami, EDVDVIAD, according to the Mandami that says that both Mishnais are speaking about removal by hand. Like Kasha Habalacha, our Mishnah is talking about a moist wart. The Mishnah Masech Erevin is talking about a dry wart. My Tamalai other Mamma, why didn't he say the same terrors as the other man Domer? That Edi Edi Balacha, both Mishnais are talking about a lacha, Vlai Kasha, Habi Yad, Habi Keli. Our Mishnah is talking with a Keli, and that Mishnah is talking about a Yad, Amalach. So he answers, Keli, if our Mishnah is talking that you're not allowed to cut off a wart by an instrument, we don't need our Mishnah for that. Because Akhtani Hassam, the Mishnah in Masechet Erevin already taught us in Bekeli Kan V'Kan Asur. So if the point of our Mishnah is to teach us that you're not allowed to cut off a moist wart with a Keli, I don't need that our Mishnah to teach us that. We already learned it from the Mishnah Masechet Erevin. Vidach, so it's a good kasha. According to that mandama that says that our Mishnah is talking about a moist wart, why do I need to learn it again? Didn't I learn it already in Masechet Erevin? Answers the Gemara. The reason our Mishnah repeated the din about being asked to cut a wart with a keli is plucked the Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua Salashminan. He wants to teach us the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, and that's why he mentions this din again. So Rashi tells us that our Mishnah, the Gemara did not answer that the Mishnah here is going according, the Mishnah in Masechet Erevin is going according to Rabbi Elazar, and the Mishnah who is maker with cutting a wart, and the Mishnah here is going according to Rabbanan who are not maker, because the Mishnah Masechet Erevin cannot be going according to Rabbi Elazar, because the Mishnah Masechet Erevin says that in Bekeli with a utensil kan v'kan osur, in both places it's osur, and according to Rabbi Elazar, if you had no choice you could use a keli. So obviously the Mishnah Masechet Erevin is not going according to Rabbi Elazar. But the Rishonim point out that the Mara in Masechet Erevin says that Mishnah can be going according to Rabbi Elazar. And even though Rabbi Elazar is normally makel and lets you do anything letzairach mitzvah, he says don't use a keli, don't use a utensil if you could use your hand. So why does Rashi say that our Gemara couldn't have answered that the Mishnah there is Rabbi Elazar and our Mishnah is Rabbanon? The Gemara over there says that teretz. So the Rishonim answer that our Gemara did not want to give the teretz that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbanon and that Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Elazar, because that would mean we have two Stam Mishnais, two anonymous Mishnais in Shas going according to different Tanoim, and our Gemara didn't want two different Stam Mishnais to go according to different Tanoim. The Tzlach says that when we learned our Mishnah, we discussed the Shaila that what would be the Halacha if the wart formed on Shabbos? Would that wart be allowed to be cut? And we suggested that maybe it would be mutter. Says the Tzlach, the fact that our Gemara does not give that teretz, that the Mishnah Masechet Erevin is talking about a wart that formed on Shabbos, and our Mishnah is talking about a wart that formed before Shabbos, it's a proof that even a wart that forms on Shabbos may not be cut. And the reason is because they didn't want to differentiate between different warts, or you could always get an animal without a wart. Isn't that a great proof? So other Mefarshim say it's not a proof, because if the halacha were that even a wart that is formed on Shabbos is also to be cut, why in the Mishnah Masechta Erevin does the Mishnah say in Bekeli Kan V'Kan Osur, you can never use a utensil? The Mishnah could have also taught us that a wart, no matter when it's formed, is Osur. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't teach us such a din Masechta Erevin is an indication there is no such halacha. The Mishnah continued in saying, Amr Belezer, there's a debate between Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Yeshua and our Mishnah. Rebbe Lezer says, "V'lay dinhu, uma im shchita shimishu malacha doiches shabbos. Shchita, which is a malacha, is doiches shabbos. Eilu shimishin shvos. These things which are only a shvos, certainly doiches shabbos." Amalei Rebbe Yeshua. Rebbe Yeshua said, "Yontif yechiach. Let's look at yontif. Shetir mishu malacha. Malacha is mutar on yontif. V'asim mishim shvos, and shvos is asur on yontif. Why?" Explains the Gemara what's Rabbi Shua's reasoning, because Rabbi Shua Tamei, Rabbi Shua holds, Domus Simchas Yontav Nami Mitzvahi, rejoicing on Yontav is also a mitzvah, and still Chazal said that a Shvus is Asur, so we see that a Shvus is Asur even B'mokim Mitzvah. The Tanya, Rabbi Leza Oimer, Ein Lo Ela Adam B'Yontav, a person on Yontav Ela Oichel V'Shoisa, either he should eat and drink, or Yosh V'Shoina, or should sit and learn. Rabbi Shua Oimer Chalkeyu, divide it. Half the day eat and drink, and half the day learn. They both are speaking about the same pasuk. That should be for Hashem the day. The day should be for you. Rabbi Lezer says, "Oikul Hashem, oikul Hashem." Or the whole day is for Hashem, or the whole day is for you. Rav Shua Sava Chalkeyu, divide the day, Chetzi L'Hashem V'Chetzi L'Chem. Half the day is for you and half the day is for Hashem. So I saw that Rav Shach once related a story. He said he once walked into a Svarim store in Vilna that was owned by a Gerach Chassid, and the Gerach Chassid told Rav Shach, "I want to tell you over something that I heard from my Rebbe, the Imri Emes." The Imri Emes said that to be able to divide something perfectly, only a malach can do. Humans are not perfect. They can't divide something perfectly. On a yomtif, every Jew has the madrega of a malach. Therefore, chalkeyu, he has the ability to divide perfectly chetzi l'Hashem, chetzi l'Chem. The Mefarshim also explained that the gematria of the word lochem is 90. Half of 90 is 45. What is a Jew supposed to do? He's supposed to take two 45s. One pasuk 45 is Ma'adir Shimcha, to realize how great Hashem is. And the other pasuk is Ma'enish Kisiskereno, how low a person is. That's the Chalkeyu that a person is supposed to do. But I saw a very powerful vart from the Rishna. The Rishna says like this. It comes... We'll save that part. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hakam Moedim Batzeres. Everybody agrees on Shavuos to be in a Nami Lechem, that you have to have Lechem. My Tama Yom Shnitim by Torah. It's a day that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Amar Rabba, Hakam Moedim B'Shabbos to be in a Lechem. Everybody agrees on Shabbos you need Lechem. My Tama the Karasa L'Shabbos Oynig. You call Shabbos a delight. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hakam Moedim the Purim be in Lechem. Everybody agrees on Purim we need Lechem. My Tama, Yimei Shif Simcha Siftik Sibay. So Mefarshim explain. We're used to believing that on Purim we have to only do Mishta V'Simcha. Here we see just the opposite. On Purim, Mishta V'Simcha Namik Sibay. That the main thing we should be doing on Purim is Torah. And also, Mishta V'Simcha, we could do also. But the main thing is Torah. But on the other hand, the Tshuvas HaMarshal says that perhaps on Purim, if somebody by benching skipped Yala Nisim, we should have to repeat it. Because here the Gemara says, Mishta V'Simcha Ksibay. So the Magen Avraham says the reason we don't repeat Alanisim is because by Alanisim by benching cannot be any more serious than Alanisim by davening. And since by Shemana Esrei, the Aloch is we don't repeat the Alanisim, so the same thing is by benching. Now the Gemara discusses that on Shavuos we have to have Lechem. So the Mefarshim try to understand, isn't Shavuos the day that represents Kabbalah's HaTorah? So what's the Lechem? So a lot of explanations are given. The simplest explanation is that we show that we're happy with Kabbalah's HaTorah. Another pshat I saw is that although in the previous Gemara we learned that there's a Manda Omer that says that Shavuos, that every Yontif either could be completely Lashem or half and half, the Gemara is teaching us that Shavuos, everybody agrees you have to have at least Chetzei Lashem. Others explain that we learned earlier in the Masechta, Ola'oim Meloim Yematz. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world was that either we're on top or Esav is on top. So if we were Makabal the Torah, so since we were Makabal the Torah, we're on top. And that's why, Bina Lechem, we even have Olam Hazah. The Beis Halevi explains the Gemara in the following way. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu came up to Shemayim, the Malachim said to him, Ma'enesh Kisiskerenu, that the Torah should remain in Shemayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, give an answer to these Malachim. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? All the mitzvahs in the Torah, the Taryag mitzvahs, are you able to be Mekayim those Taryag mitzvahs? You can't be Mekayim them. You don't have parents, you don't have food. So Shavuos, Bina Lechem, if not for the fact that we were able to physically be Mekayim the mitzvahs, we wouldn't have the Torah. That's why everybody agrees Shavuos Bina Lechem. And that's why we eat milchigs on Shavuos to show that we'll be Mekayim, that since we want to be Mekayim every mitzvah, we want to be Mekayim Basa B'cholov, so we don't eat meat, we only eat dairy, to show that we're Mekayim Basa B'cholov, not like the Malachim who ate Basa B'cholov when they were in Avram Avinu's home. But one final pshat that I saw from the Rishnah. The Rishnah says like this. It comes on Pesach, and a Jew spends a lot of money to make the Yontif of Pesach. So when it comes on Yontif, and on Yontif a person with his tefillos could accomplish a lot. So comes on Pesach, a person davens, replenish my panasa. And Sukkot is also a Yontif. We have to spend money on a Sukkah and a lot of meals, of 9 days of meals, and the Dalaminim. So Jew comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asks him, give me panasa so I could do mitzvahs. Shavuos is a Yontif that doesn't have expenses to it. So a person may chas v'shom not daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for panasa on Shavuos, for Gashmias. Hakel Moedim, the Shavuos, that on a Yontif, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down a Gevaldiga Hashpah, Bina Nami Lechem, that on Shavuos, don't forget that not only to daven for the Hatzlochin Ruchnias, daven for Hatzlochin Gashmias, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hear our tefillos.